Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursday at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, that's sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Beth Miller.
And this is Double Take. Beth, today we're looking at Primate. Now, that sounds like boilerplate horror film. What makes it horror?
Actually, that's a good question, because a lot of times in horror, people think of like monsters. So I think even though this is an actual primate, chimpanzee, that it does have an element of horror. You can put it in the horror classic just because the intensity and the, let's say, the jump scares, kind of the overall fear factor involved. So different levels of horror.
I was trying to think, you know, maybe I could give a definition of horror. And I found there was a whole lot going on with horror, like this Greenland Tour that we'll be doing this weekend as well. Is that a horror film? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they need different classifications of horror film, like horror drama, horror sci-fi, horror found footage, horror cryptid, all type of horror creature. There's a whole horror zombie, horror exorcist. There's all kinds of different levels, and it's hard to compare them to each other, but I think they all fall under the main umbrella of horror.
Yeah, which is really to scare the bejesus out of you.
Right, exactly.
So if it does that, so set it up for us. Primate.
Basically a story about a research couple who has a chimpanzee, and the mother, the female, the wife, is a linguist, so she tries to teach sign language to the chimpanzee. And so the chimpanzee becomes a part of the family. And eventually the mother dies, and the chimpanzee is with the father and the two daughters. The father and the chimpanzee, Ben, older sister, is at college. She is returning after college with her friends, and they decide to stay the weekend at the house because the father is out of town at a book signing.
Usually are stupid teenagers.
You guys have to have stupid teenagers or stupid kids in a movie to actually have a plot.
You almost know from the beginning, don't you, who's going to last?
Yes. I think I had a feeling right from the beginning who was going to last and who was going to die. So, and I think that actually this movie is a little bit more realistic, because there have been cases where they do have primates. They do teach sign language to them. And there was that famous case that were a few years ago.
Yes.
Where the lady had the chimpanzee, and then a friend came over to visit, and the chimpanzee attacked, ripped off her face and her hands.
I know.
And this was actually a little more realistic than probably most of the horror movies that I watch.
And this film makes no bones about showing the chimp tearing a face off right at the beginning. Wasn't it the first few frames?
It was very early on, and I was a little shocked. So I know. Right, jump right into it, and then they go back in time and get back to that point again.
This chimp goes crazy because it's been bitten. It's by a rabid mongoose, and this is not unknown.
Right, and they talked about it was like hydrophobia, what they used to call it.
Yeah. So the director is pretty, and this is Johann Roberts.
Okay.
Who did 47 Meters Down. I don't know if you ever got a chance to see that, but that's...
The shark movie?
Yes.
Yes, love that movie.
I know.
I love that movie.
So he's good. So he likes water.
Yes, clearly he does.
He likes mad animals and water. And this one, the water goes to a pool, a home pool in Hawaii.
Right, because a chimpanzee, the primates have such a high muscle component and low fat, they can't swim, they can't float.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
So they've all got to, save in the pool because the chimpanzee can't swim.
Right. Which is hardly safe.
No.
When you've got your buds and everybody else getting attacked by this chimp.
I like about the movie how you usually have rabid animals or crazy animals will attack people in like a more of a nature setting. But the chimpanzee is obviously on a different level because of its intelligence. It's close to a human being.
Yep.
This one also has the ability to communicate and has been living around humans. So it's aware. There's like the scene with the remote for the car.
Oh, yeah.
One individual's jingling the keys, making fun. Oh, look at this. Go fetch. And then later on, you see the Ben knows exactly what the keys are.
I know.
And holds it up and starts in your face. Look how smart I am.
Anybody who has seen horror films, we're surprised about anything that we say, except I think you're right. The chimp adds a little turn of the screw to this because it's so close to us. In fact, they open up and he's wearing an outfit.
Yes, a human like a member of the family.
Yeah.
He's been around with he's treated so much like a member of the family, I almost thought he would have a bedroom in that big house.
Yeah, but Beth, also, they cage him up at night.
Yes, they put him in the cage where he has a little house and he's caged up at night.
Yeah, he's treated like family, but at night he's in a cage. What is that? It tells you he's still an animal.
Right.
The question as to how horrible or how can we indict him when in fact he's rabid, as opposed to just being mean as an animal.
Yeah, I think there's a difference when you talk about the horror movies when an animal is just basically, it's doing its own nature and it's ravenous versus somebody that's a human being that's calculated and mean and doing all this type of stuff. So I don't think we can fault him at all. Ben, it has no fault in this whatsoever.
Good.
It's not at all. It's not his fault. First, they've taken a chimpanzee, which really should be living in the wild, and they brought it into a human setting, tried to treat it like a human being, but still also doing that divide of still treating him like an animal by putting him in the cage at night. And then he gets and he's rabid, and everything that he reacts is, you know, a lot from the virus. So nothing that we can blame on him. Taken out of the wild, treated like a human, and then he gets bit. So it's none of it is
hard-headed realist like your husband Tim. My question, you know, how horrible can this be when he's just rabid? It's not his nature. It's not him, but it is rather the infliction. That's a fine distinction, but. The filmmakers, here's another problem. What do you know or feel about Ben?
I mean, I liked Ben. I mean, he had years with the family, was communicating with, almost treated like a sibling. Like you see the younger sister playing ball with him, and he's in the room and hanging out. I really liked him, but I almost feel sorry for him that he's kind of put in this situation away from other chimpanzee. He's not living his best life, per se, in the wild. I think the family has a lot of fault on them for putting him in that situation. And then I feel bad that, you know, he gets bit, he turns rabid. And so this kind, gentle creature that's lived with these people forever is now seen as this horrific, terrible creature that's attacking them. So
yeah,
I felt bad for him. I mean,
yeah, no, and I do. And you've expressed my concern is that I can't hate him that much because of what he's had was almost as uncontrollable. Because they dress him up like a human being and because they treat him like a human being, I was expecting more in the film of him.
Yeah, like more of a, yeah, it would have been nice to see like almost like little videos of him when he was a baby, when they had him raised him, to kind of have more of an emotional connection with Ben before he became rabid. I think a lot of it happened, the majority of it is with him after he's already rabid. So you don't really have that true connection with him as the kind, gentle soul that he's supposed to be.
The way they photograph this, frequently he's out of frame or it's dark. We don't get a close-up, clear view, too many of him. We do some of his face with his drooling.
Honestly, when I first started watching the film, I'm a huge horror buff, and I have, you know, I'll accept all type of horror films, and I have a low bar as far as, like, what I think is a good horror movie in general. When I first saw it, I was a little skeptical because I thought he looked kind of fake, or I was like, oh, this is going to be like a puppet type of situation. It was like, oh, this, I don't know what I'm going to think about this movie. But when as he turned rabid and they got more of the faraway scenes or just the super up close of the drool, I think it was more impactful, and I thought that they went along with the psychological effect of the fear and then focusing on the individuals with the fear and what they were going through.
Good,
not necessarily just focusing on him.
Yeah, oh, and that's great. I think you're right. That's one of the things that interests me, as well as the dad, who is deaf.
I thought that was great.
Was it?
When they would shoot to his viewpoint, they would cut out all sound. So you're seeing it as a deaf person, like when he's at the book signing or when he's at the house and all this is going on around and he has no clue. And he's just like, you know, eating a piece of pizza and walking around and has no idea because he can't hear anything.
Yeah, right.
And you think about the implication. I just thought that was a really good touch to draw you into it get his point of view when he's deaf.
And it adds that bit of terror when something is going on around you and you don't even hear it.
You have no idea.
You know, dad is there and going to protect them and all this. No, dad, because you're not hearing what's going on. You're not paying attention to what's going on.
Right.
So it was and dad, I think, was a noted author of thrillers or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, he's a notable writer, and he's at a book signing, and somebody made the comment about it, you know, this like being drivel or, you know, being, you know, smut writing or something like that. You know, like not the greatest, you know, novel writer, but, you know, people love them. So,
well, Beth Miller, people are going to have to go to the podcast experience on WCBE 90.5, and they're going to have to look at Double Take if they want to hear more of you. They don't want to hear more of me. They want to hear more of you, so they can go there. So, Beth, what do you recommend for Primate?
To go see it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are, I mean, my husband with me, who's not, in, let's per se, a horror fan favorite, he thought the movie was okay. Me, as a huge horror fan of all, I definitely recommend it to any horror fan. I think there had a good intensity to it. Even myself, who rarely gets a jump scare or rarely is impacted or has any of those intense moments, there were times like putting my hands up to my face or I had to look away. I think it was very well done as far as a horror movie. I think any kind of horror buff would really enjoy the movie. I highly recommend it to any horror fan, but just all in all, I think it's it's a good movie. I think it was well done with the plot that's been done before other movies. So I think they did a a newer take on it, and also bringing back into a real life situation.
That's my point, too. You're going to know ahead of time what happens. Right. But that's part of the joy of this, the anticipation. It's like, right. It's like the old, do not go into that cellar.
Right. Do not enter. You know what you're getting in for, right?
Right, right. It's almost like the same way with the pool. Don't do that. You're going to be safe, but you're not. Okay, Beth, we're at Primate. We have a chimp who enjoys tearing faces off. And it's not really his fault. This was my point. We have a little compassion for this poor chimp. He may be beating the heck out of a lot of our stupid teenagers, but it's because he's rabid. And this is historically accurate. And you mentioned the hypophobia.
The fear of water.
And apparently that's true.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen videos of people that have rabies and they can't drink any water, even though they're so thirsty.
Beth, I know you have a wealth of knowledge about horror films. A simple one that I have of you. What's the difference between this and Planet of the Apes business?
For Planet of the Apes, more of a development for intelligence and them going along to become more human and have their own society.
Yeah.
Where in this case, it is the rabies that turns him less civilized than what he was beforehand. So it's kind of a different dichotomy, as like one is going more advanced, being able to speak, becoming more emotional, intelligent as far as what's going on, versus when he gets rabies, he's going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
He's becoming less human.
That distinction, it's the same one that I have too. We're talking about Planet of the Apes. We're talking about responsible thinking beings.
Right.
And this one, we have a completely different circumstance, a rabid chimp. It's always fascinating to see how we look for the human characteristics in either one of them, in one of those motifs. And I think that's what keeps them going, is that we see ourselves and we see our worst self in the chimp.
And it could happen to a person.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's not anything that's unique to them.
Brings you thoughts about tolerance, about being tolerant of, if you look at this and say, well, you know, I mean, this is the poor chimp. And if you look at in the Planet of the Apes, where you say, well, look at how we've evolved, maybe they'll do a better job of it.
Yeah, they're a little more conscientious as far as the planet and the environment than the humans ever were on the planet. So it might be better off with them ruling.
So what are you thinking about for other horror films?
Obviously, this movie brings me back to Cujo.
Oh, good one. Yes, indeed.
The rabid St. Bernard, which is a cult classic. My favorite horror films go back to the old ones that brought me to the love of horror. So a lot of my callbacks are the older films.
Yeah.
But Cujo is very similar, where it's a family pet who gets bit by a bat.
Good one.
And gets infected by rabies and ends up trapping a mom and her young child in a car. So you have that same intensity in this primate movie of the individuals hiding out in the water versus the mom and her child hanging out in the car trying to avoid the rabid dog, Cujo. So I really enjoyed that. There's another survival killing animal type of movie, which is one of my favorites, called Backcountry.
No.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that at all. It's about a city couple. It's a guy and a girl couple. They decide to go hiking in the woods, like it's kind of a romantic getaway. It's always a bad move, right? To where his childhood, where he used to go hiking at. So he takes him out there and they get stalked by a bear. And so it's more realistic, but it is them trying to survive, try to hide from the bear, and he's basically relentless in attacking them. So that's a really good movie as far as anybody looking for like a survivalist being attacked by a creature type of movie. It's not super well known, but it's very well done. I've seen it twice.
No, it isn't. I'm glad to hear about that. So what do you figure, 10, 20 years ago, what? What are we talking about?
For Backcountry? Yeah. I want to say maybe late, like 2015, 2017.
Oh, okay. So like relatively.
That one's a relatively new one. Oh. I want to do a call out for, you know, more recent for the younger folks out there.
Yeah.
For like my overall just favorite.
Well, whatever comes to mind, because.
Not in the, you know, animal attack. I mean, there's all kinds of different genres. Okay. Let's say there's one that's not well known. It's a Spanish movie called Terrified.
Okay.
It's from 2017. It's actually really good. It's more of a possession type, but it's very well done. It's very scary. And if you read any like movie reviews as far as like really well done, it's a very good one. Terrified. Not Terrifier, but it's Terrified with a D, and it's Spanish. As far as other movies I really like the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
I love Cabin Fever, the original one.
That's a classic.
Love Cabin Fever, not a big
fan. That's, again, the stupid teens, right?
It's always the stupid teens. I mean, we'd have no plot of any horror movie probably without some stupid teens. Another good one in that case also is Cabin in the Woods.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Which is to kind of make fun of the horror genre. Like, you always have the jock. You
that's
always have
I
the
like.
Pretty prom queen. You always have the nerd. And about what the order that they're supposed to be killed in every movie. So, and that had an ending which I was not anticipating. So I really like that. 28 Days Later, that's a great.
Oh, and coming up, right? A 28 Years Later?
28 Years Later was out now.
That's with really Ralph Fiennes?
Oh, yeah, that one coming out.
The Bone
Temple.
Yeah.
I saw the preview for that.
Do you look forward to that?
I look forward to that as well. That should be really good. I love him as well.
Yeah, wow.
There's also horror comedy, which I really enjoy.
Okay.
Like Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, very good.
Amazing movie. And also Tucker and Dale versus Evil. That's also one of my other favorites.
Beth.
I don't know if you've seen that one or not.
No.
Have you seen that?
No, it wasn't on the top of my list.
Yeah, that's a great one. I like kind of like the little ones that are not as well known that are really good. Obviously, there's a couple other not so well known ones. One's called Let Us Pray.
Okay.
And it's Pollyanna McIntosh, I believe. She's a well-known actress. She's like a cop and she's in a precinct and they have this individual who's a mysterious character who comes in and all these weird things start happening. And then also Starry Eyes is another not so well-known movie and it's about this woman who wants to be famous like an actress and what she kind of goes through in order to get their take on Hollywood and what you have to do. But I also really enjoy more of the mainstream Hollywood movies that have the big star actors. Like, two of my all-time favorites that I rewatch on repeat are What Lies Beneath and also Wolf. And What Lies Beneath is Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
That's
I forgot
amazing.
That.
And also Wolf, which is Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, good choices.
Those are great, amazing, more the mainstream type of movies that people seem to like. But, you know, obviously, I will have to give a shout out to my Uncle Wayne, who you have as a guest
Wayne
on the podcast.
Wayne Miller.
Wayne Miller's podcast. He probably got me into my love of horror every Christmas.
So he's responsible.
He is responsible for my love of horror. I mean, every Christmas, he would bring over his VCR and we would play a horror movie on Christmas as a tradition, whether it be Carrie or Christine or, you know, Cujo. But I have to give a shout out to my all-time favorite little mini horror show. It's the Trilogy of Terror with Karen Black. It's from the 70s. It was a series, and they'd have one actor that went through three little stories. And then this one's Karen Black, and it's called Prey. And it's about this woman. She's kind of sheltered, very shy, has this very close relationship with her mother, and she's dating somebody, and he's like an anthropologist or something. She gets him as a gift this little statue. It's a little Zuni doll. And it has a little chain around its waist. And it talks about how inside of it is the spirit of a Zuni warrior. And it's kept in place by this little chain that's around its body. But while she has it, the little chain falls off. And the little Zuni doll comes to life. And it chases around the apartment. And basically, it's her trying to survive the attack of this little 12-foot little doll, which is completely vicious. It's very frightening. I mean, I watched it as a child, and I still remember it. And I still go back and revisit and watch it. So, great memory. But it's something that I think everybody should see. It's just a really well done little skit with Karen Black.
Side note question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the necklaces on the two girls in this movie would have played some part. Did I miss it?
No, I was waiting for that too. At first, I almost thought that they were like a couple.
Vacationing. Right.
I thought they were like a couple. Then I realized they had the little best friends necklace. The little heart you split in two, and the two best friends will have it. I had one with one of my best friends when I was younger. So it's kind of an older thing that girls would do.
All right.
Not so much now. But I thought that would be a bigger play in the movie. Except going to the whole scenario of they brought in this one girl that's an outsider to cause friction within the group and to show how those two and how she went with her when she was looking over the house and they were protecting each other. But I thought there would be some kind of symbolic to the necklace. I thought the chimp was going to take it or he was going to do something with it.
Because you have a couple of close-ups of that, you expect to see it. And our chimp did look at it. I thought he was looking at the necklace.
At one point. Do anything with it.
No, I know.
I thought he was going to grab it.
But that'll give you an idea how much they had to work with. And at some point, they just edit this stuff out. And they don't expect nerds like you to pick it up on it. Right.
Where's the callback to that? Like, why is that so prominent in the beginning and never resurfaces?
Well, Beth, I just enjoy listening to you. But I wanted to ask you about something a little bit different.
Okay.
And see if you've seen it and if you have any comment on it. A Quiet Place.
Yes, I've seen both Quiet Place 1 and Quiet Place 2.
How do you fit these into your horror motif?
That one was also a creature, almost like an invasion type of movie. Yes. You have the alien invasion. I thought that was an excellent movie, very well done. Of course, Emily Blunt's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything she in is stellar. I mean, she can't do anything wrong. So I really enjoyed that movie. It was a newer premise. And in that one, you also have the deaf daughter who brings in to like
the whole thing
to draw back for the father who can't hear anything. You have the daughter who's at a serious disadvantage because she can't hear anything either in The Quiet Place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed The Quiet Place. Quiet Place 2 was very well done as well, but obviously I always like the first movie.
Oh, yeah. Usually, I don't have to see the monster to be really scared.
Right.
In fact, I think the less we see of the monster, and that's why in Primate, they put him in the edge of the shot sometimes, and other times it's so unclear. When they don't get up close to him, I'm more terrified than when they do.
I completely agree, and that's a lot of reason why I go back to a lot of the older horror films when all the CGI and all the special effects weren't as prevalent. They had to have some slight special effects, but there they really focused on the plot-driven and the emotional and the psychological fear to bring that with the surroundings and didn't rely so heavily on the CGI monster or all these big
sets.
Because they have so many movies that come out where they're supposed to be a great horror movie, but it's all CGI, it's all special effects, there's no character development, there is none of that emotional draw, there's none of that psychological fear, and that is what really draws you into a horror movie is that anticipation, that intenseness, that anxiety of waiting for what's going to happen. And that's why I actually like this movie as well, because they did have some of that. I did have some of the jump scares, but I did have some of that intensity, that anxiety, and that stress that went along with that was reminiscent of like the older movies.
And I think that really good viewers like you and semi-good like me don't need the jump scare so much anymore.
No, I don't need the jump scare at all. I'd rather be drawn out in more of a psychological intensity, making me think and making me dread. And, you know, sometimes the bigger reveal when it's not a jump scare is worse. So.
And that's why I like The Quiet Place so much. And they try to do that monster that looks something like the alien monster to me. Why do they even bother? It's such a disappointment to me to see the monster.
Right.
To feel its presence and not see it to me is horrifying.
Right, to not know what you're up against is almost worse than actually putting a face to it and knowing what it is.
Oh, Beth Miller, what a joy to have you here. I knew you would be crackerjack, and your uncle Wayne told me that you would be on the horror genre, but you made it interesting and fun. Beth, let's say a family is looking now, an awful lot of competition out there. What do you advise them about Primate?
Well, obviously, it's not for young children. I think it'd be too traumatic for younger children. I would say teenage age and above. But I say if you like horror, go see it. Yeah. I think you'll enjoy it. On a regular movie scale compared to everything out there, maybe a 5 or a 6. If you want to put it on the horror scale, I think 7.5 to an 8.
That's exactly where I would put it, too. And there is gore.
There is some gore.
You're going to be satisfied if you're an aficionado. You're going to be satisfied. But it's not overdone.
No, there's a few scenes that I was like jerked back on. I'm like, oh my goodness. But I think almost all horror movies have those intense moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not like some horror movies. Every scene is a gore scene. Lose the plot. So
you know what I particularly like, Beth? Pulling the jaw off.
Yes. That made me think of like Godzilla or Kong or whatever when he's attacking the monster and he rips the jaw off the bottom of the monster.
I know.
I don't know if that's something. I think Kong does that to one of the lizards he's fighting. So I don't know if that is a primate thing they do when they fight. Do they rip a jaw?
I mean, a little piece like it came from the dentist. Or
right, exactly. No skin left on it and he kind of bites on it like he's going to eat it like a chicken bone.
Well, Beth Miller, thank you for being here. It was a joy.
Thank you so much for having me.